This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
We are talking about running backs 9 through 16 in our consensus PPR rankings, and that would be... Again, this is not ADP. This is our ranking. Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Ken Walker, Jeremiah Love, Kyren Williams, Josh Jacobs, Cam Scataboo, and Breece Hall. And the range for these guys in Fantasy Pros ADP is Barkley at 15 all the way down to Scataboo at 44th overall. He's actually RB19 in ADP's RB15 our consensus rankings. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's Fantasy Football Today on Wednesday, June 10th, hump day. Adam Azer with Dan Schneier and Heath Cummings. What's up, Dan?
It's a big day for you tonight. Knicks on game 4. Got to win. Cannot lose this game, I don't think, and still win the series.
I disagree on that, but yeah, it's a big game. Question for you. You know what? No, we won't do the banter now. We'll do the banter later. Remind me, after our first commercial break, I'll ask you, I'm going to put in the notes, question.
Okay.
Heath, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm shocked to see that you were at home, because yesterday I was told that you were going to look at a trade offer when you got home. And I just assumed that you never went home and you were going to be podcasting from somewhere else today.
All right, let's look at the trade offer right now in our Bake Burger Dynasty League. Heath has offered me Isaiah Likely and the 6th overall pick for Quentin Johnston and Cam Ward. I don't think I can't give up Cam Ward. I'm sorry.
I was confused. I thought that you were looking to trade Cam Ward so that you could take Fernando Mendoza at 102. I thought you said that you wanted to get better somewhere, trade Cam Ward for a different position and draft Mendoza at 102. I was trying to help you make that happen.
All right. You know what? I'm not going to reject it. I might.
You're just going to let it sit there for a couple months?
I got to figure out who I'm going to get at 6. You know,
does anyone know when this Bake Burger draft is even happening?
No.
Is there any?
Not till probably.
Still TBD?
Training. Once.
Are the rosters still locked? Because I want to drop like 14 players so I don't get stuck again. No, I'm not kidding. The rosters are locked. They can't drop anyone.
All right. I don't know.
You unlock the rosters at least?
No. You know what? I don't want to do anything with this league right now. Let's get into the show. All right. So I've got stats on these 8 running backs. Not all. Well, I do have stats on all of them, but I'm going to start with stats on 2 of them. Stat of the day, number 1. In the last 2 seasons, 14 running backs have at least 5 one-yard touchdown runs. Okay? Including a guy like Sean Tucker. Sean Tucker has 5 one-yard touchdown runs. Wow. Dan Schneier, how many does Saquon Barkley have in his 2 seasons with the Eagles?
Ooh, 1-yard touchdown runs.
Yeah.
0?
0. He has 0. Wow. He has 3 carries from the 1-yard line, all in 2024, but 0. That's amazing that, like, Jonathan Taylor has, I think, 13 or something. No, I think he has 10. And Jonathan Taylor has 10. Josh Jacobs has 9. Saquon Barkley has 0 one-yard touchdown runs in the last 2 seasons. Heath, stat of the day number 2. You try to scratch your head, go, what is the Rams going to look like? The Rams backfield, what are they going to look like with their split? Because in the last 11 games of the season, Kyren Williams averaged 15 carries per game. Blake Corum averaged 10.5. Well, the Rams have been top 7 in running back carries 3 straight seasons and top 4 in running back carries inside the 5-yard line in 7 of their 9 seasons under Sean McVay. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's they score a lot of points, and it's good that they still, even with having a goal line receiver like Davante Adams, still get inside the 5 often enough to where they can have those types of carries. It was a bit of a down year, I guess, in terms of touchdowns for Kyren last year, but he still scored 13. Love it. That's what he does.
Yeah, he sure does. And, you know, in those last 11 games, I think he would have been, based on the, hold on, instead of guessing, he would have been about RB13, I think, per game, something like that, Kyren Williams, based on the points per game he had in that stretch. He averaged 14. Yeah, he averaged 14.7 PPR fantasy points per game. Based on the points per game, he would have been RB10 per game in non-PPR, RB13 per game in half PPR, RB14 per game in full PPR. But in that stretch, the Rams were number one in running back carries. They ran a ton of plays. They had a lot of carries. All right. So there's a couple of stats to think about here. Because obviously, touchdowns are going to matter. And it's interesting. You know, I thought, Dan, I was like doing the Saquon Barkley research. Like, well, you know, I feel like he's a pretty good bounce back candidate. It seemed like last year was almost a worst case scenario. He was RB15 per game.
But right.
I do think you have to worry about the touchdowns with him a little bit if he doesn't have some long touchdowns. Because most of his touchdowns in 2014, when he had 13 rushing touchdowns, a lot of them were, you know, of a great distance. No, just something to think about.
Yep.
All right. Let me give you some quick questions here. Which running back in this range do you think you'll draft a lot? That's Barkley, Henry, Walker, Love, Kyren, Jacobs, Scadaboo, Breece Hall. Which running back in this range, Dan, do you think you'll draft a lot?
I have probably three that stand out. Should I say the one I feel like I'll draft the most of?
You can just, give me all three in order.
Walker? No, in order, based on the fact that I don't think he'll go as high. Henry, Walker, Scadaboo for me. And I mean, I think I'm back in on Breece Hall at this price, too.
Okay. Heath?
Yeah, I would say probably the cheapest ones. So like maybe the guys who go in round three, ADP is all over the place on these guys.
Yeah.
But Kyren and Hall are the two that kind of stood out as most likely.
I think we'll see Jeremiah Love's ADP rise too. We already saw yesterday at practice, or maybe it was from today, I'm not sure, LaFleur mentioned, like, you know, like if you got Steph Curry and he has the hot hand, you don't take him, you don't stop feeding him. It's kind of like what he was referencing, what Jeremiah Love could be for that offense. It sounds great on paper. I would like to see it play out. I'm very skeptical about a lot of things with that offense, but as far as like how it impacts his ADP, I think that's a guarantee. It's going to start to skyrocket. We're going to see that ADP rise all the way. I wouldn't be surprised into the middle of round two.
Okay, so I'm just trying this ADP I'm looking at is CBS. Okay. Oh yeah, okay. CBS ADP. And Fantasy Pros ADP on a guy like Josh Jacobs is so different. Fantasy Pros has him 38th, and if you you know, you got these legal issues and you know, if that gets resolved, I think it's going to be 25 where CBS has him. But he's been so consistent the last 2 years. And I think even at 25, he'd be a really good value because Josh Jacobs, in his first year with Green Bay, he was, I think, RB6 per game. In his second year, RB9 per game, but he averaged about 19 PPR fantasy points per game. If you take out, he got injured, and he had three games where he played less than 40% of the snaps. When he's playing his normal snap share, he's on pace for 16 total. He's on pace for 19 total touchdowns, and that's what he does. He scores 28 touchdowns in 32 games with the Packers.
That's why we've seen such a shift in my mind, at least in where the talent is in fantasy football. We have consistent producers now at running back in a range where we used to have consistent receivers and where we used to draft receivers consistently. We have to change because the reality is, I always talk about this, Adam, you know, this is my big thing. This is still a big touchdown game, fantasy football. We don't like to talk about it. They regress, blah, blah, blah. Can't predict it. But the reality is the people scoring points, the people scoring touchdowns for the most part. And that's what we're getting with these running backs, Jacobs, Scadaboo, potentially Walker, I think is going to have a lot of touchdowns this year. Henry Williams, you mentioned before, down season, he said 13. Like these are guys who score touchdowns. And that's why I think the whole strategy for fantasy is shifting, regardless of if you're in PPR, half PPR, whatever it is, you need to get the consistent scores in this range of the draft. Like I'm looking at the receivers who we might be taking over these guys, and I still see way more question marks as far as scoring touchdowns, scoring fantasy points, what I can rely on than this group of backs.
Well, I think like running backs generally score more touchdowns than wide receivers. And the fact that we now have more scoring and fewer plays and fewer yards because teams are starting closer to the goal line.
Right.
Is also like, I think the kickoff rule favors the running backs.
And they can't throw the ball, these teams. Most of these NFL teams are struggling to keep a passing game on time and in rhythm. And that's why I feel, and teams are playing too high split safety looks. Yards are at a premium now. Touchdowns are still going to be had. These are the guys who are going to score them. So I like this range for the most part.
Okay. Let's go to the second question then. Which running backs in this range do you think you'll pass on, Heath?
He's not drafting Barkley this year.
What's that?
You're still out on Barkley, I feel like.
Yeah, I think, like, again, we're kind of looking. I have Barkley. I think the really difficult part of this range is Henry, Barkley, and Jacobs in my projections are a point per game better than everyone else in this group. And 2 or 3 points per game better than some of these guys. But they all have major red flag question marks.
Yep.
And so I'm probably not going to draft Josh Jacobs anywhere close to this until if his legal issues are resolved. Mm-hmm. I'm probably not going to draft Walker or Love where they're going to go either, because when Dan was talking about the touchdowns, they're kind of the two guys that I'm not sure are going to score touchdowns.
Dan, do you think Ken Walker is going to score touchdowns?
Yeah, I just think Ken Walker's going to score a ton of touchdowns. I saw how many Kareem Hunt had over these last 2 years in that role with the Chiefs. I don't know necessarily who's going to take over Hunt's role if it's not Walker in the red zone. And he gives them so many more options as a receiver, too. I'm just very high on this Walker Chiefs fit in general. I think I could be wrong on it. We'll find out. I've never been a Walker guy my whole career in fantasy. I've always faded him, but we'll see. I just feel very good about how often they get in the red zone, the designs of plays in the red zone, specifically in the run game, what Hunt has been able to do. I'm not as worried. I'm more worried from a touchdown standpoint, but Barkley, Love, these guys who are Barkley's case, he's getting touchdowns stolen from near the red zone. Love's case, I don't know how much they're going to score. Breece Hall's probably in that mix as far as, like, are we looking at a player who we're going to be relying too much on yards for because they're not scoring a lot of touchdowns?
But Hunt did score a lot of touchdowns relative to the number of touches that he got.
Yeah.
But this offense has averaged 9.3 running back rushing touchdowns per season over the last 3 years.
Yeah, listen, it is actually in the Mahomes era, 8 seasons of him being their starting quarterback, they've had 2 running backs finish top 15 per game in full PPR. They have not had a running back with more than 205 carries since Kareem Hunt in 2017. That was Mahomes' rookie season. They have 3 running backs in the last 8 years with more than 36 catches. One of them was Jerick McKinnon, 1 Darrell Williams, 1 Pacheco. Pacheco had 44. This has not been a good offense for running back fantasy points, but it also hasn't been an offense that's had good running backs. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. It hasn't had a Ken Walker at any point.
I think, like, except for the last month of Ken Walker's football playing, I'm not sure we thought he was that guy.
Walker's actually only the highest finish he's had in 4 years has been 12th per game in full PPR in 2024 when he was on pace for like 70 catches. The other 3 years of his career, he's averaged fewer than 2 catches per game. So Ken Walker hasn't really been that good for fantasy. If I take a look at his career, he's finished in full PPR RB17, RB21, RB12, and RB28. And that 1 year, 2024, he had 46 catches in 11 games. However, he's had flashes every year. As a rookie, after Rashad Penny got hurt, he was top 10 per game in 11 games. 2023 got off to a great start, 17.4 points per game in his first 6 games and a couple of injuries, bad game scripts, things went downhill. 2024 got off to a hot start, then he struggled. 2025 was amazing, 23.2 points per game in 4 games without Zach Charbonnet. So I just wonder if this is finally situation for Ken Walker to,
like, that's my thought. Like, is this finally the situation? Because what is really the competition on Chiefs roster? You're going to start to say players like Rashard Smith to me. I'm just going to be, and I like Emmett Johnson, no doubt, but
I think the big risk, and you don't even want to hear this name. Definitely didn't want to hear this name last year at times, but the big risk is Amari DiMercato. Because he's a pass catching back, and Eric Bieniemy's already talked about how Walker has to get better to play on passing downs.
I don't think Walker even needs to
play.
He's out. He has 6 catches on third down in his career.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the passing downs.
Right,
red zone is where I'm worried about, and in general with the Chiefs. And I don't really see them. I don't foresee them taking Ken Walker off the field for Amari DiMercato in the red zone. That's a really bad
decision. I don't think so in the red zone, but I do think in the 2 minute drill, maybe.
And I think let's look
I would think that's a mistake too, but it's possible. That's possible.
No, that probably, I mean, that could definitely happen. And it happened in Seattle with Charbonnet, but I got to take a break, but I just look at these eight running backs. And I think there's two things that we've kind of touched on here that most of them have in common. And let's get into that when we come back. So that's Barkley, Henry, Walker. I'll give you the names after the break. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
What does leadership really look like? On The Power of Advice, a new podcast series from Capital Group, you'll hear from athletes, entrepreneurs, and executives who've led on the field, in the boardroom, and in their communities. It's not about titles. It's about impact. Discover what drives them and the advice they carry forward. Subscribe and start listening today. Published by Capital Client Group, Inc.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Running backs 9 through 16 in our current consensus rankings on CBS Sports PPR. Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Ken Walker, or Kenneth Walker, Jeremiah Love, I got to start calling him Kenneth, Kyren Williams, Josh Jacobs, Cam Scataboo, and Breece Hall. So I think two things that most, not all, but most of them have in common. Number one, Not a lot of competition in the backfield. Saquon Barkley had the fifth most touches per game, or maybe the fourth most touches per game at the running back position. He dominates touches. Derrick Henry, not going to play on third down, but he's going to get basically every running back carry. Ken Walker doesn't have great competition. Jeremiah Love, I don't know. Kyren Williams, obviously, is the exception here. Josh Jacobs, not great competition. Scataboo, I don't know. I mean, Tyrone Tracy's not bad. Tyrone Tracy's going to have a role. And Breece Hall, you know, I don't know what to make of Braylon Allen, but he could factor in at the goal line. But there's that. These guys have a path. Most of them have a path to big time work. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, I don't think we have to obsess over catches in this range. I don't know that there's a guy in this group that who's getting to 40 catches. Like Breece Hall should get to 40. Is anybody getting to 50?
If they design the offense right, Jeremiah Love, but I doubt they'll do it that way. So no.
Yeah. So I don't think it's that big of a deal.
He has the skill set for it.
I don't think it's that big of a deal to be hunting for catches in this range.
I think that's what I almost said at the beginning, like that this for me feels like the danger zone at the running back position. And it's partially because of that, because I don't think there's a lot of guys who are going to catch a lot of passes. And then if you don't, you have to score a lot of touchdowns.
I used to feel that way, but I feel like running back catches aren't as important as they used to be.
I'm with you on that, Adam. There's a few guys who can separate themselves, like the McCaffrey types, but they're just down so much in the NFL. That's probably why they're not as important. There's just so few backs who are actually doing it.
Oh yeah, I like to see if I could back that up with some numbers. I think I have that stat tucked away somewhere, but I'll
dig into
that.
Dig into the Azer Comporium and find some Azer stats.
I think I can find that actually. All right. Let's get some news and notes out of the way, and we'll dive back into these eight running backs. Giants minicamp. Jackson Dart, it's kind of a slow adjustment to a new offense. He's had some good moments, some bad moments in minicamp. But Cam Scataboo, who is in this group of eight running backs, he participated in 11-on-11 reps for the first time. Cleveland head coach Todd Monken is not ready to name a starting quarterback. They're about to break their minicamp and have a little time off before training camp, but they're not going to have a starting quarterback name before training camp. He said both Sanders and Watson have played well. We had a report out from the Houston Chronicle. Tank Dell expected back for training camp. That was from Jonathan M. Alexander. So Tank Dell expected back for training camp. That's great. He also said that Jalen Knoll made a lot of plays on the first minicamp practice. We also had that report that I mentioned, I think, yesterday, of Jaden Higgins looking good right now. So, Heath, all those things I said about Nico Collins being my favorite value, am I overlooking the competition in the receiving core?
Well, I think Nico Collins, when he is 100% healthy, is the type of guy that competition really shouldn't matter. I will tell you one thing, and I mentioned this on FFT Dynasty yesterday, had Alfredo Brown on. You do not want to listen to that episode, Adam, because he's not a huge fan of Jackson Dart. But what I had recently looked up was CJ Stroud has been much, much better when Tank Dell's been on the field. Eight yards per attempt in the year and a half or full year when he had Tank Dell, right around seven when he didn't. So I think it'll be a good thing for Stroud to have Tank Dell there. And I do think that Dell, Higgins, and Jalen Knoll is probably the best competition. Well, he had Diggs and Tank Dell at the same time.
He did. Yes. He had.
I don't remember what he did that year.
Oh, he was insane. Nico Collins, the first four games, he was on pace for, like, I think 200 targets or something crazy.
Yeah.
And then he
got dinged up.
He got hurt in week five and wasn't really the same when he came back. And when he came back, I'm pretty sure Diggs was already out for the year with the ACL. But it was a super small sample size. We had 14 running backs in 2023 that had 50 or more catches. The year before that, we had 11. The last 2 years, 2024, we had 9, and 2025, yeah, we had 7.
Yep. So it is going down, clearly.
It is. I mean, I don't know about 40 catches or whatever, but that particular number has been lower the last 2 years. More news items. Alec Pierce could be back from his ankle injury a couple of weeks into training camp. I do suspect you'll see his ADP start to fall a little bit. Training camp happens and Alec Pierce is on the PUP list. Javonte Williams was not at OTAs for unknown reasons. Phil Maffa got the first team reps, or the first reps with the first team. John Shipley of SI, he does a good job covering the Jaguars. He said Bajal Tootin is looking explosive in camp. He did caution that nobody has pads on, but he's looking very good. He also, and Chris Rodriguez is out, by the way, with a foot injury. He said sixth round pick wide receiver Josh Cameron could work his way into the rotation as an outside receiver at some point. Boy, they're going to play a lot of receivers. And head coach Liam Cohen isn't sure when Travis Hunter is going to be full go. Former Browns guard Joel Bitonio is retiring at age 34. The Browns basically have an entirely new offensive line. I want to say four or five spots are new this year. And more, hate seeing this kind of news, but Rams left tackle Alaric Jackson, he was arrested on suspicion of felony domestic violence. Obviously, we don't know what happened. We'll keep an eye on that important player.
He has been punished under the personal conduct in the past. I think he's already had a 2-game suspension.
Yeah.
So could be significant if he is.
Yeah. All right. We got Beyond the Box Score. We got FFT Dynasty. Beyond the Box Score has its own YouTube channel. FFT Dynasty, you can see all that stuff at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. They each have their own podcast feed. They each have dashing, fantastic hosts. And you should listen and watch those podcasts. Okay,
thank you.
Okay, good. Okay.
The nice thing you ever said about me.
Saquon Barkley versus Derrick Henry. Who do you like better?
It's a tough one for me this year. I've just been high on Henry for the last couple of years and just not ready to quit him. Not a big believer in the age or whatever it may be. That's the supposed red flags with Derrick Henry. Because of things like you see here, even in a down season, I guess it was considered for him, it's 16 rushing touchdowns. How many touchdowns are going to have this year? How is it going to be lower than 15? This is the question I ask myself with Henry every year. In what world outside of an injury is this guy not scoring 15 touchdowns?
There's really no world. Yeah, there is one world, and that's if the Ravens are not good, because he doesn't do as well when they lose.
Right, but it's Lamar Jackson, and they have a good defense. Like, I don't. Do you expect the Ravens to not be good this year?
I expect them to be good. I mean, they have.
Right.
I don't know what to expect with a new offensive coordinator, but I would expect it to look like the Ravens.
I would too. And they've been a really good franchise. They've drafted really well. They have a really good infrastructure there. And Lamar Jackson, most importantly. So as long as they're good again, I expect him to score a lot of touchdowns and be a really safe, fine fantasy bet. It's just him versus Barkley is interesting. I think I lean Henry, honestly, the more I think about it. Because of what you said, like Barkley's were so reliant on long touchdowns at this point in his career.
I don't want to say he's so reliant. He said Saquon Barkley has 0 1-yard rushing touchdowns in the last 2 years. But he does have, I think, 4 2-yard rushing touchdowns. There are some. But it is an issue for running backs in Philadelphia.
One of those 2 years that he had 0 1-yard rushing touchdowns, he was the best player in fantasy, right?
He was.
Right.
Yeah.
And he still has that upside if the Eagles can get back to where they were. There's just so many more ifs for me with Barkley. It depends on, can this offensive scheme take a big jump? And is it going to be good with Mannion? We don't really know what Mannion's going to bring to the table. Can Jalen Hurts still play at a high level without A.J. Brown? I don't know how much of an impact he was having on his game. It's not like he was really throwing for that many yards anyway, but it is what it is. But we're talking about a player who has 9 rushing touchdowns last year in a down year. So there's still a floor for Barkley. I just feel like, with Henry, I have a clear path toward points.
He had 7 rushing touchdowns. He had 2 receiving.
Sure. Whatever it may be, 9 total. Yeah. I just feel like there's a clear path toward points to Henry. He's going to have close to, you know, maybe double. It's possibly as double the touchdowns Barkley has.
The only thing I worry about, and Adam, you've talked about this a lot, but with Henry losing his center and losing his fullback, his last 3 years in Tennessee, when he was actually in his prime, he averaged 4.3 yards per carry.
It's a good point.
The 2 years in Baltimore, he's averaged 5.6. Now, that's not all his center and his fullback. Some of it's the fact that the defense has to account for Lamar Jackson. But if we see Jackson rushing less, which I think we saw a little hint of last year, and their blocking isn't as good up front, he might lose 2 or 3 fantasy points per game just due to rushing efficiency.
And he already lost points per game. I mean, he went from RB4 per game in his first year with the Ravens to RB7 per game. And he went from like 19 right. points per game, I think. 19.9 to 16.8.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think part of it last year was there were a few games without Lamar Jackson where he struggled and the team really struggled. He was really, really good with Lamar Jackson.
It's the other thing. If Lamar's healthy this year, that offense is going to be so much better, which is going to lead to more scoring opportunities.
Yeah.
I don't know for sure if the path to the Eagles being an explosive offense is really as clear as it seems.
No, I know. I haven't said it in a few months, but I used to say it all the time. One of the toughest decisions fantasy managers are going to have to make is looking at the Eagles offense and going,
right,
are they going to get back to being one of the best offenses in football, or is that era over?
And if it is, Barkley's not a bad pick, but he's a bad pick relative to his ADP when you can get some of these other backs in that range.
Dan is just now trolling me with Jalen Hurts lies.
No.
Lies in the chat.
What do you mean?
Blatantly lying in the chat.
Let's take a look. I think it's pretty close to what I said. Okay, sorry.
The guy threw 32.
No, it was. Yeah, it was. 2024.
In 14 games.
Okay, still 2,900 yards. That's
over a full season.
Yeah, it's 2,900 yards, Heath. Like, let's give him a couple extra yards. He threw for 3,200 last year, 2,900 the year before. The Kellen Moore year, he got to 3,800.
I think it's unfair to say he threw for 2,900 yards in a full season, but he missed 3 games.
All right, it's not a full season, but last year was a full season. Threw for 3,200. We're not that much better.
No, it was not a full season. He didn't play week 18 last year. He didn't play week 18.
I mean, everybody misses a game or two, right? Every quarterback misses a game or two.
No,
like, what are we doing
true.
Here? Is every quarterback playing full 17?
A lot
when
of
I mean
them
a full
do.
Season, I mean he was the starting quarterback for most of the year.
Yeah, but you got to give him an extra game. Look, there's no question last year was not a good year. The offensive line. By
last
most
year was not a good year. No years are good years from a passing standpoint.
No, I don't know about
besides
that.
Besides the Kellen Moore. Besides the Kellen Moore, no year's been good from a passing standpoint.
Okay, but that was a year. It's a matter of pass attempts. You're acting like he doesn't do well per attempt. He just doesn't throw very often.
I mean, he bombs it up and he gets these one-on-one looks on the outside. Of course, per attempt, it's going to look good.
And we're just, just to be clear one more time, because Dan refuses to say anything factual about Jalen Hurts, his worst game of or worst season of his career in terms of passing yards per game was the Kellen Moore year. Dan really? Always says he was only good as a passer the Kellen Moore year. It's the only year that he threw for less than 200 yards per game.
Really?
It's just completely factually inaccurate, Dan.
We're talking about 200 yards per game, Heath. That's the bar you're setting?
All right.
No, listen,
all
right, let's say it's the only year he was good as a passer. Like, it was his worst year in terms of passing yards. He threw for 200.
The only time the offense looked okay from a rhythm standpoint as a passer.
Exactly. Exactly. It's Dan's.
The only time he was actually moving the ball on a consistent basis through the air. I guess now he just bombs it up on these one-on-ones and it works a lot. He's got a great deep ball. There's no doubt about it. One of the best in the NFL.
The Shane Steichen year was the year that he averaged 247 yards per game.
Let's stop talking about him. I don't know if there's anything else we want to say about Barkley. I think it is kind of interesting that in the rare cases where A.J. Brown has not played, Saquon Barkley usually gets five. I think he gets about five targets per game when A.J. Brown hasn't played, something like that, or five targets maybe in three of the four games. So,
but that's not with Hurts, is it?
Yeah. So
that's throughout his career, it's career numbers.
It's only four games. It's only four games that Brown has missed that Barkley has played. But no, he gets more targets. Maybe they'll throw a little bit more than they have the past couple years. So he had 37 catches in 16 games. He can get to 40 catches. That's really not that bad. And maybe there's room for more. He can be really good with the ball in his hands. In his seven healthy seasons, Saquon Barkley's been a top nine running back per game in five of seven seasons. Okay, he's played 8 years. One of them, he played two games.
Right.
Five of seven seasons, he's been top nine per game. He's currently RB9 in our consensus rankings.
Yeah.
So I would say that's a pretty good case for his floor. Last year was the second worst year of his career. The other one was the year after he tore his ACL with the Giants. All right. Let's go to our next two, Dan. Let's go to Ken Walker versus Jeremiah Love. Kenneth Walker versus Jeremiah Love. That's running backs 11 and 12 in our consensus rankings. Heath, who do you like better?
I will go with Kenneth Walker here. Again, I think I said these were the two guys that I thought I was least likely to draft, but I've got Walker basically right at, I think his ADP on CBS is 23.5 is what this says. I've got him at 25 overall. So if Eric Bieniemy is back, he's supposed to be very good at coaching the run game. Patrick Mahomes maybe won't run as much as he has in the past, although somebody brought up on a show on FFT Dynasty a week or so ago, like, remember, like, every time Patrick Mahomes gets hurt and is hobbling around and looks like he can't walk, and then he always has a 25-yard run. I kind of think he may just run coming off the injury anyway. But if Mahomes doesn't run and this team goes more run heavy, then I think Walker, like Dan's case for Walker being a clear RB1, could definitely happen. But it's not a certain thing.
I would, Dan, before you even, so you're going Walker, Heath, and his ADP is actually 16th on Fantasy Pros. And
right.
It's round three, into round three on CBS, Kenneth Walker, sorry. I just feel like right now, Jeremiah Love is one of the toughest players to rank personally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be within a range of 12 picks or something like that, but it's not like he's going to be around five pick or something, but I don't know where, I don't know if it's a late round two, if it's mid round three or whatever, but I don't know. I just don't know what to expect.
We've struggled to return like anything on our investment lately with these types of players too. Genty being the most recent of that example. And this is not where it ends. Like I said, this ADP will go higher than 31.5 for Love. The minute we get all the hype at camp, it's over for that standpoint, I think. So that'll be a tough one for me too, to buy into, but the upside for me for Love is like, our Cardinals offense scored last year. They were a good fantasy offense. They were good. It was good to be a part of that fantasy offense. They didn't really find anyone at running back once Connor went down. Benson could never get healthy. But as like the receiver scored, Brissett scored, they moved the ball. Their defense was horrific. So they're just playing in these shootouts with good tempo the entire year. They didn't fix that defense in one offseason. I'll tell you that. Like, Walter Nolan's a great player. I don't know if he's going to be 100% this year coming back from the injury. They were really bad once he got injured last year, too. And he was a rookie anyway to begin with. So, like, I feel like they could be similar game script this year. So that's the upside, I think, for Love. Tons of plays, tons of tempo, scoring opportunities based on being down 21 points in a game. And they just have to, you know, they're playing catch up against cover two. With Walker, it's like, well, we talked a lot about it already, but also the one thing I didn't mention on this show, but I mentioned before, it's the number one thing for me. Isaiah Pacheco faced the number one light boxes in the NFL of all running backs. He was terrible, but now it's Kenneth Walker. Can Kenneth Walker face a light box, see the crease, hit it, and turn this into a 13-point fantasy play on any given play? And I think the answer could be yes in a lot of these games.
I wonder how much of that, like, I know that teams historically have played like light boxes against the Chiefs a lot because of Patrick Mahomes. But also, I wonder how much of Pacheco's light box rate from last year is the fact that they just refused to let him play on anything close to a short yardage run. Like, it was Kareem, every time it was an obvious
thing. That's definitely part. Yeah.
Be heavy. Here comes Kareem Hunt.
That's good context. If he's not in any short yardage situations, he's going to have a better chance to face a higher percentage of light boxes. So definitely good context.
Yeah. All right. So,
but also, like, as far as Love goes, I would bet lots and lots and lots of money that when we get to mid August, he has around 2 ADP.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Remember, it's going to shoot up. Cardinals have one of the hardest schedules in the NFL, and they start with the Rams, the Seahawks. I don't know if the 49ers are tough, but they do have a very difficult schedule. I think that probably favors him.
Favors Love.
Yeah, in the running back competition, like, because I would hope they would use him on passing downs. I don't know, but maybe not. I mean, maybe they want a better pass protector. Again, I'm not. You know what? I'm moving on from Love. It's just too early right now. Who's going to be on the roster? What's the future of James Conner? Let's see what happens here. But Kenneth Walker, I think you've heard Dan being much higher on Walker than Heath, but. I'm sorry, Heath. 2-3 turn for Walker. You're okay with that? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. We'll take a break and talk about Kyren Williams, Josh Jacobs, Cam Scadaboo, and Breece Hall when we come back. The next two running backs in the consensus rankings are Kyren Williams and Josh Jacobs. And that would be running backs 13 and 14 in our PPR consensus rankings. And is it easy to say, Heath, that Jacobs would be ahead if there were no suspension, no risk of a suspension, everything was hunky-dory and normal in Josh Jacobs' land, he'd be not only ahead of Kyren, but maybe ahead of Walker and Love?
He would, for me, if there was absolutely no question about Josh Jacobs, he would be right in the mix with Saquon and Henry.
Yeah. Dan, do you agree?
Agree, 100%.
I mean, just to play devil's advocate, and I already made the case for Jacobs, he's been so good. He averaged 4 yards per carry last year, and he does that a lot. Four of his seven seasons, he's 4.1 yards per carry or worse. You know, he has, since he came in the NFL, he has the second most carries in football behind Derrick Henry, but he's about 300 more than Saquon Barkley, who's number three. But he's got the 13th most carries of 40 or more yards. You just don't see a lot of home runs from Josh Jacobs. Oh, yeah. So you need volume. You need a lot of it. There's no reason to think he won't get it, but he's not that efficient typically. If they don't score touchdowns, if they're less run heavy, there's some downside there. But it seems like you're getting to a point in the draft. Like, you could even start with number one. There's downside for almost every player, right? So we're nitpicking here. Josh Jacobs is Josh Jacobs.
I mean, we're talking about guys here with Jacobs, Henry, who are getting you a floor of 6 points a week on average, basically. I mean, 16 touchdowns for Henry, 14 for Jacobs, a little less for Jacobs. But we're talking about almost a 6 point head start per week. And when you look at some of these receivers you could draft in this range, we used to have a 6 point head start with those guys too. Now you don't get that anymore. There's just not the consistency in the passing game across the NFL. So I just want a guy like Jacobs who I know is going to be getting all the touchdowns there. Even if the efficiency is no longer there, even if the explosive runs are no longer there, the passing game stuff comes and goes with him. I feel like it's game to game, but there's a little bit of a boost whenever it comes. But the touchdowns are just worth so much to me.
All right, Heath, so maybe we'll just talk about the other three running backs. Kyren versus Scadaboo, Scadaboo versus Breece Hall. Is it an easy call for you?
No, I wouldn't say it's an easy call. I've gone back and forth between Breece and Kyren here recently, and I think I actually would prefer Breece at the moment. Just because I don't really think the situations in Los Angeles or Chicago are going to change as far as the sharing goes. And Hull has the possibility of just dominating the workload for the Jets. And I expect that he's going to get back to catching passes more than he did last year because he's been awesome at it whenever they let him do it. And I think it was just a dumb mistake they made last year. So I think those two I really go back and forth on. I'm probably going to remain just a little bit lower on Scadaboo relative to those guys because of concerns about the injury.
I think Breece Hall, I'm not sure he's going to have the third down role. He didn't have it last year. He should still catch more passes, though, 36 catches in 16 games. I think what's so interesting, I believe I brought this up a few weeks ago, so I'm sorry for repeating stuff, but I forgot that I said it, so maybe you forgot that I said it. Breece Hall was on pace. He played 16 games. He was on pace for 258 carries. If you just take the last 11 games for Kyren Williams when he was splitting somewhat evenly with Blake Corum, Kyren Williams was on pace for 254 carries. That's four fewer than Breece Hall over a full season. So that's amazing to me. I don't know that Kyren can get to 15 per game if the split is what it was last year, because again, they were first in running back carries per game in that stretch, the Rams. But even with him splitting, like, I guess the point is the workload may not even be that much better because the Rams could have so many more opportunities than the Jets. That's just something to keep in mind. And
right. And
Kyren doesn't catch the ball. It's annoying. He runs so many routes. His target per hour run rate is super low. If they ever start throwing him, he's on the field enough to be a 40 to 50 catch guy. And they just don't throw the ball to him. But okay. Dan, what's your take on Kyren versus Breece Hall versus Scadaboo?
I think I mean, Kyren's the safer floor play here. Him and Scadaboo are in a similar like realm for me. Scadaboo probably has more upside because there's a possibility that the Giants could open the year with Neighbors on PUP, and Scadaboo is kind of the focal point of that offense. I could completely see that it coming out that way if Scadaboo is as healthy as he looks already. And the fact that he's already taking part in team drills in minicamp is pretty surprising, to say the least, and a good sign as far as where he's headed. He had 7 touchdowns in 8 games, I believe he played. That's, you know, Henry type numbers from a touchdown standpoint on an offense that we expect to potentially take a jump this year with the addition of Francis Maunoa at right guard, among other things they've done at receiver versus what they had last year. So there's more upside there, but there's more floor with Williams. So it depends on how you want to play that. Breece Hall is the interesting one because you went through all of the context with him. There's also the possibility he's playing behind by far and away the best offensive line he's had in his career from if those two tackles develop the way they could. And in some ways, like more competent quarterback play possibly than he's had. It sounds crazy, but we're talking about guys like Brady Cook starting 4 or 5 games for them at times. Justin Fields is what it is. Good athlete, like not a great quarterback. So if Geno can get back to playing at the levels he played before last year when the old line just broke down immediately for him in Vegas, it's possible this offense can be a little sneaky. And that's when I'm a little bit more interested in Hall. So I see like a little bit more upside with Hall than I expected to see when I went into the season, like evaluating these players.
And I think for me also, like if you were just going to ask me who is the most talented player.
Yeah.
It's Breece Hall.
Sure. That's a great point. He's definitely has the best chance to break a long 10, 11 point fantasy play at any point.
And unfortunately, he hasn't really shown that much of that since his rookie year, but I do think it's there. And like Scadaboo
had something like 100 carries and only one of them went for more than 20 yards. He's not that kind of runner, but he's going to knock people over, but not run away from people. Kyren is so good, so consistent, but he's another guy who's not making big, big plays.
No.
Kyren's metrics were so good last year, but you know what's interesting? Blake Corum's were better. And not by much. It depends which metric you look at. But Blake Corum also had a great year, so he deserves carries. Blake Corum led all running backs in yards before contact per carry by a lot. That is something that, we look at Saquon Barkley from 2024 to 2025, that could come down significantly, and maybe we'll have a less efficient season. But Kyren's just really good, really solid. And that's the thing with Kyren, is that in the last 3 years of his career, I think the worst he's finished is ninth per game. But it's not hard for me to paint this picture of he's in a 55-45 split, catching two passes a game. That sounds bad, right? It's hard to see Kyren not being good because he's been really good three straight years, but I could throw the case out there that he has a low floor.
Yeah, I think people have been making that case for the last 3 years because they don't think he's actually that talented and it's just a bunch of touchdowns. But I think it's hard to argue like that he has a, compared to the guys on this graphic, that he has a low floor. If we were ranking him where he's finished the past 3 years and comparing him to guys in that range, then I think that, yeah, he would maybe have a low floor. But I can't say he has a lower floor than Scadaboo or Breece Hall or Walker or Jeremiah Love.
I think he has a lower floor than Walker. The other three, I'm with you. I don't know. I feel like Walker is one of those guys that has basically no competition. I don't expect him to be the third down back.
Walker has never had a season as good as Kyren's worst season in the last 3 years. Is that accurate?
I think that's probably true. I wonder in 2024 full PPR versus for Walker versus 2025 for Kyren, it's probably close. But yeah, I agree with you. You have to sort of take this mindset that Walker's in the best situation of his career and Kyren's in the worst situation of his career, which I believe.
I think that's true if he gets more work in the passing game. I don't think the 2026 Chiefs are a better situation for a running back in a vacuum, but it was a bad situation for him last year because he had to share.
Who Ken Walker saying? Ken.
Right. But like, if you're asking me, if I'm a running back and I can either be in the Chiefs system or in the Kubiak system in Seattle, I would rather have a running back in the Kubiak system.
Kubiak's not there though. Oh, right. I'm sorry. I don't know why.
Yeah, we're comparing last year's Seattle to this year Kansas City.
By the way, yeah, Kenneth Walker in 2024 averaged 16.5 points per game. That is better than the 15.7 Kyren Williams averaged last year. But that, I don't really even count that year because, again, 46 catches in 11 games. It's just so out of character for Kenneth Walker. But he absolutely, you look at Kyren Williams, you can't say Jeremiah Love is a higher floor or Cam Scadaboo or Breece Hall. And if Scadaboo, Dan, I mean, it does seem like rainbows and butterflies right now with Scadaboo, but I'd say this a lot. It's always like that. The reports are always like that. And then the guy comes on the field and a year later they're going, well, and it wasn't really 100% coming back from the injury. And now I am, you know, so you have to take a bit of a leap of faith. That we don't know, but what do you, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, this is a really good, like, I think true point in the chat because Dan was talking about how he's never been a Ken Walker guy and he's never drafted him. He said, I think Walker's higher in people's rankings if they've never had shares of him before.
Yeah.
I think Kyren's kind of the opposite of that. It's like, if you've never had Kyren on your team, you might be a little lower on him because his profile looks like not that impressive. But if you've rostered Kyren in the past, it's really nice to have a guy that just touches the ball almost 20 times every game.
I do want to say more about Walker. Maybe I'll save it. Oh, you forgot to remind me to ask the big question. Yes. I said at the end. But
that is also a good point, though, on Scadaboo. Like, he is clearly the lowest floor of this group by far, based on what you said. If he doesn't, that injury is not a guarantee to return 100% from, or even anywhere close.
I'm just going to say, right now, I am pretty much out on the Giants. The only Giant I want to draft The only Giant I want to draft right now is Tyrone Tracy, because he goes super late. And I don't even want to draft him necessarily, but I'm just not that optimistic about their offense because of the neighbor's injury, because of the Scadaboo injury, because of the offensive coordinator. Obviously, I hope I'm wrong. But yeah, I haven't drafted Scadaboo yet. I think he's being drafted based on what he did last year, which is amazing. But I'm just, he was on pace for 60 catches in his healthy games. I don't, that's a lot. Is he a 60 catch guy? That seems like crazy to me.
I don't think so in the offense that the Giants are going to run.
Right.
Right.
And you're not out on Likely, are you?
Oh, sorry. That's the guy. Love him. Love that pick.
Right.
Love that pick. 130th overall or something. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm not that optimistic about the Giants like taking this big step. They were about an average offense last year. I assume they'll be the same, but maybe not. Okay. And then, last thing about Ken Walker, the Chiefs 4 straight years during Ken Walker's career, I just like compared Seahawks to Chiefs. They are like, let's see where they've ranked in running back carries per game. I think something like 26th or worse all 4 years. They just don't run the ball. But I actually think that it would make sense for the Chiefs to change their offense a little bit. They're not passing the ball well. Their defense, I don't think, is going to be as good. I think they are going to be a different offense.
They run RPOs and never run out of RPOs is what they've done. Like what they did last year, they had the highest rate of passing on RPOs, I think, of any team in the NFL. I would expect it'll be a little different, but.
Sorry. So it's their running back rush attempts ranked the last 4 years. The Chiefs have been 25th, 30th, 18th, and 26th. The Seahawks were 21st, 25th, 29th, and first. So Kenneth Walker never actually played in an offense that ran the ball a lot until last year. He also, if you look at his yards per carry, and it kind of correlates to the ranking of the offensive line, whether they had a good offensive line or a bad offensive line. And the Chiefs last year struggled, but they had injuries. The Chiefs 3 years before that had an awesome offensive line. So I think there's so much lining up in Ken Walker's favor.
The Chiefs have I would say my perspective, and I don't know what Dan's is, but my perspective on the Chiefs offensive line is that it is very volatile going into this year. It could be very good, and it could be a big problem.
The Chiefs offensive line is the most, what's the word I'm looking for, is the most perplexing to me of any O-line in the NFL. I look at it on paper and I'm like, how in the world were they not able to run the ball last year with Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey next to each other on an offensive line? I don't care what's going on around them. And I, like, my biggest concern with Walker is, like, has the run game passed Andy Reid? Because that's my question when I watch the Chiefs. I don't see a lot of diversity in their run game. I don't see a lot of interesting, unique things for the, like, he'll use pre-snap motion, but as far as there's not a lot of power gap in that offense, or it's really not executed in a way that's creating these massive holes. And again, we're on an offense that's facing light boxes a lot of the time. Split safety looks all the time. Teams playing off coverage against Mahomes. It's very perplexing. They have good players on that line, Heath, but it is volatile. And obviously Josh Simmons is a whole nother story. We don't know, you know, if he's going to be there for the whole year, whatever's going on with him.
I think this could possibly be Andy Reid's last year that they kind of forced him out.
You already made that prediction. The Chiefs are going to miss the playoffs again, and he will be forced to retire.
Yeah. Well, I'll take a Chiefs make the playoffs bet with you, Adam.
Well, it was more of a bold prediction.
I'll give you odds.
I think they're in a little bit of trouble right now. I just don't
know. I mean, they've got the Broncos, who probably would have won the Super Bowl if Bo Nix didn't get hurt last year. And they've got the Chargers, who are obviously going to be in the Super Bowl this year again.
They might, yeah.
7th year running, where they are the most popular pick to emerge as a Super Bowl contender.
I just don't know.
If Mahomes plays all games, and it looks like he's going to. At least that's a guess, but he's already practicing. They're not missing the playoffs. He's still Mahomes.
Yeah. Okay. Who's going to defend the pass? Their cornerback room is
I mean, they just
great.
Got LeJarius Sneed.
They got LeJarius Sneed back. Yeah,
that could work.
For nothing. It's probably going to work.
It was
probably
a very, very Belichick really well. Move, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a very, but yeah.
All right,
and
so
they drafted a corner at six.
Yeah, and they also drafted Mansur Delane.
Delane. But that doesn't mean that they're going to have good cornerbacks. Throw a rookie out there and a guy who just
top
had
six pick and a guy who was great in the scheme before he went to Tennessee. I think they're pretty fine there.
Okay. So big question here. All right, we got game four tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We got game five on Saturday.
Are you doing another thing where you have to miss half the game or whatever? Kid's birthday.
No, games one and three. I don't know if you know this, Dan, but games one and three. I watched the first half live, and then did bedtime. We got the kids to sleep. Turned off my phone.
Yep.
Watched the second half with my wife on DVR.
Okay.
Finished probably at like 45 minutes after the game ended.
Nothing wrong with that.
I hate it. I don't know.
If I can
do
it. Good.
The kids go to bed early.
They don't go to bed early. They do not go to bed early. The earliest. My son fell asleep at 9:30 last night. It's the earliest in months.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think this is an appropriate time to introduce melatonin.
You know what? I asked the doctor about that, and the pediatrician said...
Oh, melatonin? No, do not do that.
Yeah, the pediatrician said, that's not something you want to make a habit of. Once
right,
in a while.
Right, not a habit. Oh, just tonight? Only when the Knicks are in the NBA Finals. That's not a habit.
All right, so whatever. Tonight, I'm not sure I can do this again, but Saturday is game five. Which is either the biggest game ever or a clincher, potentially. There's a big outdoor watch party in town. Like a big field. They're going to do food trucks. They're going to do a projector.
Yeah.
What do you think? Yay or nay?
Yay.
You're taking the kids?
Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
I think
yes.
It's all about the energy. Like, there's going to be good energy there. It's going to be a good atmosphere. I think it's fun.
Yeah, but at the same time, I can't really get intense and watch the game.
No, you can't. It takes away from that.
What? Why?
Actually, I don't know why
it's too many distractions. Come on. Can I have ice cream? And they're throwing balls. It's just like, it's not that kind. I don't know. It's too social. It's too social. I'll see a lot of people I know, which is great on one hand, but also it's not, I can't lock it. I can't lock in. I'll have fun, but I can't lock in.
It has its pros and cons. I think the pros probably outweigh the cons, though.
All right, we'll see. I think maybe if it's a clincher, if they win game four, it would be fun
to
celebrate with people.
Yeah.
If it's 2-2, I think I want to lock in and be intense.
You might need to be at home at 2-2 because that's a totally different scenario. That's like, oh my God, if we lose this, it's over. Like, we can't lose three in a row.
And then look at this comment from Andy. Canes tied up the series last night in Vegas. Man, the cup final has been an all-timer.
It's been great.
It has. They were saying on the broadcast last night that the first three games that they thought were the best first three games in Stanley Cup Finals history. And then last night, they had like two goals right out of the gate, a third one.
The fact that the Canes could win a game after being down 4-0, tying it up 4-4, and then losing that game, that should like kill your momentum. For this. It just shows like hockey is an awesome sport. Like they can refresh on a night-to-night basis.
Speaking of hockey, have you been following all of these World Cup visitors who are here from other countries and like discovering America? It's fantastic. Like,
where do you find this?
On Twitter. It's I'll share a couple of them.
Yeah,
with
I'll
you,
see it.
Like, there's a there was a German fellow that was at Bucky's at 1 a.m. getting dinner last night and just amazed by Bucky's. There was one That's of them awesome. That was floating down the some river in Tennessee. Like, just, it's amazing stuff.
That's cool.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Dan, I got a couple of grind my gears.
I love a good grind my gears segment.
Heath reminded me of one. Number one, I can't, in all seriousness, I cannot stand Twitter anymore. All it is now is Knicks
stuff. Yeah, it's bad.
It's like, I appreciate that. I enjoy the Knicks stuff, but I would also like to learn about other things. I would like to go on there.
No, that's because you like a lot of Knicks stuff.
Yeah, I don't like hit like on anything. I don't reply to anything. My timeline is 90% Knicks videos, and I could use 30%, but
you
would
could
like
just to use the follow tab instead of the for you tab.
Yeah, you could do that.
Oh, okay. I'll do that.
Then you just solve it immediately.
The follow
tab? Then you're going to get a lot of fantasy stuff.
Oh, following. Oh. All
those
right.
are the people you're following.
The following. Okay,
and not just what the algorithm
projects you want to. That's better. The other thing. Oh, man.
This was a bad grammar here. But anyway, move on to the next.
All right. The people who leave the shopping cart, I call them the scum of the earth. I got people who are much worse.
Oh, really?
The problem is I've been this person multiple times. I think we all have. Last Monday, I was driving to Yonkers at like 5:30, right? Rush hour. Ugh,
why would you ever have to do that?
I had to go to Macy's. And then I went to
Yonkers.
Applebee's. It was a fun night. Yeah. Wow. So anyway,
heck,
getting off the highway, no traffic until we get off the highway. The line, the exit to the to get off the highway was about 15 minutes of sitting in line.
So you don't like the people who drive up to the left and cut off?
Not only do I not like them, I think they're disgusting human beings. But I've done it before. So
but
I
you've done it.
But the lady who did it to me, and then 5 minutes later, she tried to not let someone else in who was pulling her move. That is super scummy.
That's the scum of the earth right there. The hypocrite.
The hypocrite, yeah.
Would you rather somebody get in front of you and then not go so they can let somebody else go? And then that person doesn't go so they can let somebody else go? You don't ever move. You need them to be selfish once they get in front of you.
I mean,
well, you need to. Well, I play defense. As anyone who would listen to this podcast ever could probably predict, I'm defensive. I will not let you in. I will not let, and I'll look at you too. I'll take a look. I'll look through that window. I'll stare you down. Please. If you look at me anyway, say, nope, you're not getting
a PSA, Dan, a PSA for you. It is not
worth
it. Don't
do that. I know. People are crazy on the road. It's not a good idea.
People are insane.
It's a really bad idea, but I don't like it. I don't like people cutting me off. I think I like it grinds my gears even more. Okay. This one, if you're going through an intersection and you get to a light and you're taking a left, right? Do the smart thing and do the considerate thing if you have to take your left, but it's a busy road coming both ways. It's one of those left. And peek a little bit more over. Leave space for somebody to go around you.
Of course.
Don't block the whole lane and make us now sit. And then the light turns red. Oh. That's when I just honk the horn at the person immediately. Like I just sat behind you. You did not leave enough space behind me to cover you. And then they make the left. Like as the light turns red, they finally make their left because like they have their lane. Yeah. But I'm stuck sitting at the light, and so are the 14 other cars behind me. All you had to do was creep a little bit over more with your car into that middle-ish area, that little like whatever zone you want to call it, which there is space, and let a little bit of space for somebody to pass you around.
I think
the
it's
right.
Technically illegal. It's
a selfish move.
That's fine, Heath. So is speed.
Technically illegal.
So is speeding. I think in South Florida, there are very few roads like that. We have a left turn lane almost everywhere.
Jersey thing, maybe.
Up here. You know, what do we got? What do we got? Got a screenshot coming? Never mind.
I'm just picking up something AI.
Yes.
I don't ever have that face on, but... Yeah, I will block you from stealing my stuff, and if you are that person who hogs a lane...
The problem with this picture is that the shirt fits too perfectly.
Yeah, it's not tight enough.
That is a great shirt. The collar, like Dan's got very sloppy bacon collars. Like
what the heck? I don't have sloppy.
Well, it looks like there's a crash happening behind him also. Like that guy is not in the right lane.
Dan's like, I'm not letting you in this lane. He caused an accident.
He did cause an accident.
All right, everybody. That's it for today's show. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today. Thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Paramount Podcasts.